such an honor to be here. Last night was incredible, and as I was waking up this morning and just praying for the service, which by the chance, I don't know why I woke up early to pray, because I came to the prayer meeting, and the prayer meeting was way more powerful than just my moment with God. Not to discount that, but how awesome is your prayer service before church? And it was interesting to me, I was actually born in Escondido. And so it was this weird feeling of God's grace as I was praying this morning, because I was remembering that I was born in Escondido. And the background around my birth was that I was actually, when I was born, I was addicted to heroin, because my mom was addicted to heroin, was shooting up while she was pregnant with me. And so some of you will notice as I start preaching, you're like, oh, now it all makes sense. True story, in Escondido, at 9 months old, I was dropped off at Ruth and Victor Campbell's home with nothing to my name except a bottle that was full of Coca-Cola and a diaper rash, they said, to my neck, and were said, hey, your Israel's biological parents just got busted for drugs, and we don't know what to do with him. Here he is. And so at 9 months old, being born with all kinds of health complications, being addicted to heroin, all those different things, in and out of the hospital, and then abandoned at 9 months in Escondido, California, to now, I'm not going to tell you how many years later, but many years later, now getting an opportunity to be at Promise Church. And if I could ever think about God having a promise, God having a purpose, even before I was formed in my mother's womb. So, besides Pastor Henry being such an example and a spiritual father that I can look to, and then seeing this amazing Miracle Bible College, just to be here this morning is such a privilege and honor. And I just can feel the Holy Spirit in here. Come on, anybody feel the Holy Spirit? So I'll just get right into it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there are going to be difficult times. Anybody say, wait, who was he writing to? Was he writing to Timothy, or was he writing to 2020? Come on. Paul says, hey, you should know this. Come on, there's going to be some difficult times. Come on, Christ followers, there's going to be some difficult times. Jesus, taking some of his words that he said, Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 26, Jesus says words like this: here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil and they'll be perplexed. He also continues to say, people will be terrified at what they see on the earth. For the powers in heaven will be shaken. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather. We thank you that there's power when we gather. Father God, as I speak right now, it's such an honor and a privilege to be here in Escondido, where personally you rescued me. And Father God, I know that you're no respecter of persons. If you rescued me, you've got so many more people that you want to rescue. And so right now, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's your word that renews our mind. It's your word that increases our faith. And it is your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the situation, the heart of things. And so we thank you that your word's anointed. Now I pray that there would be an anointing on me, that today would not just be information, but Father God, there would be transformation by your word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come on, somebody say amen. I mean, 2020 so far, Kobe Bryant. 2020 so far, COVID. Come on, 2020 so far, racial reconciliation. Come on, so far, 2020, killer hornets, right? So far, 2020, Kanye for president. Come on, 2020, the Washington football team. 2020, no more coins. What's up with that? What's up with that? So we've seen some things, and the Bible, what is so amazing about that, and I don't know about you, but I feel like the great philosophers from Dumb and Dumber that said, and even our pets' heads are come falling off. You know what you didn't know that movie. That's all right. But so many different things. But the Bible says, Paul says to Timothy, Jesus tells to us that, come on, in the last days, there's going to be some difficulties. That right now, the Father, God, and the Holy Spirit are not in heaven stressing out, freaking out, wearing masks, going, what are we going to do? Come on, they have said, the Bible has told us that what we're walking in now has already been prophesied about. That's pretty cool that we're reading God's word, and it is just as relevant 2,000 years ago as it is today, letting us know that what we're in the middle of has already been predicted, has already been prophesied about, and no one is stressed about it because they told us that this was going to come. Three amens, I'll have to preach a little bit better. So we understand that the word of God predicts what we're going through right now. But that's not where it stops, because anybody can make a prediction that things are going to be tough in the future. Right? That's just kind of easy. There's going to be traffic in LA next week. Wow. You're so prophetic, Israel. But the Bible prophesies about it. But it doesn't just declare what's about to happen in the future. The Bible also declares what the solution is in the future. Remember, Paul says to Peter, come on, in the last days, Jesus, as he begins telling us, he says that in the end times, there are going to be. But listen to what the Bible also says. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will see dreams. Micah chapter 4, verse 1 says, and in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. Stream! Like people right now! Now, it's amazing that the Bible declares that we're going to have some difficult times. And I'm thankful that we have God's word to prepare us for moments like this, so that we know that we were in the middle of it. We shouldn't freak out, because God told us there's going to be some difficult times. But he didn't just tell us there was going to be difficult times, and now we just have to twiddle our thumbs and we just have to go through it. No, he tells us that there is a solution for the end times. He prophesies and tells us through his word that there are going to be difficult times. But then at the same time, God's word tells us that in the end times, number one, I am going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so we don't have to just say, oh, it's tough. We understand that part of the solution is that when there's tough times, more of his spirit gets poured into our life. The second thing that he says is that the church becomes more essential than ever before. It becomes the most important place on the earth. So I just want to talk about those two things just for a minute. Number one, that the church becomes the most important place on the earth. So at the end times, the church becomes more important than any other time. Just think about that for a second. The church becomes the most important place on the earth. More important than Washington, D.C. More important than New York City Stock Exchange. More important than any historical moment. More important than at the Vatican. More important that it's the church, us, you and I, become the most important place on the planet. Man, that's encouraging, that as we talk about end times, the church doesn't get discouraged. The church doesn't get, oh, this is so tough, and God, the government is really being mean to us, and there's really some tough times. It's so hard to be a Christian. No, we put our shoulders back, we lift up our heads, and we understand that we're part of one of the most important things that there are on the planet, and it is called the house of God. I mean, somebody should say amen. Somebody should say preach it, white boy. Somebody should say something. Because this morning, we didn't come here to just escape the world. We came here to establish something that the whole world is looking for and needs in their life. And the church is only going to grow according to God's word. And we get to be a part of that? Where are you going this morning?
I'm going to church.
We get to be a part of that. In the end times, the greatest place will be God's house. Then it doesn't just stop there. It says that it will, the most important ingredient is the Holy Spirit. I love in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Think about this. We know the day of Pentecost, especially you Bible college students. We know about the day of Pentecost in early Acts. But in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, it says this. And they asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. So this was, they went to a church. Went to a church. They had music. Come on, they had an acoustic guitar, right? I guess, I don't know. They had praise and worship. They had prayer. And they were believers. And Paul said to the church, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. So there were churches, not in Escondido, maybe in LA, that go to church, do all the things you're supposed to do. With all the church things. You got to have a screen with scriptures. you got to have an usher that takes your temperature. Come on. You got to have chair. They had everything that the church needed, except they had never heard of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just saying that the Bible says that in end times, in the last days, there will be difficulties. But for us to be able to get through the difficulties and for the church to be the greatest place on the planet, it can't be a church where they've never heard about the Holy Spirit. It's got to be a place where we need God's Spirit in our life. Can I get an amen for that? They were having church without the Holy Ghost. Ah! That was then, and I'm afraid we can do it now. Because we know the right words to say. I think it was you said the Christianese words to say. We know the right way we can worship. Like, if you're tired, but you want people to still think you're passionate, you can get your elbow. And you can do a worship, like, and you get your, you know how long I can hold my hand up like this? It never gets tired, and everybody can look at me and go, he's such a worshiper. He's just such a worshiper. But I can say all the right Christian words. Bless you, brother. Koinonia. Right? Blessed and highly favored. We can memorize Christian words, and we can get really good at controlling atmospheres. But the problem is, atmosphere is important, but the atmosphere that we create with lights, and the atmosphere that we create with music, and the atmosphere that we can speak with cadence is all good, but it can be mimicked without the Holy Ghost, because they found a church that was having church, but nobody was getting filled with the Holy Spirit or even talking about the Holy Spirit. Thank God you go to a church where we were this morning in prayer saying, come on, Holy Spirit, would you come in? Would you fill us afresh? Would you pour out something new? And I'm here to tell you, come on, we've got to get through this season, and it's not going to be because of our good streaming equipment, which is nice. We're not going to get through it with our good lights and our smoke machines and our Christianese words. The way we're going to get through this season is a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And when somebody says, have you heard of the Holy Spirit? We don't say, I've not heard of him. We say, we've made room for him. Come on. We've said, he is here. Come on. He said, he is moving in our life. I love the Old Testament story of when they made room for Elisha. They made room and said, I understand. The Shunammite woman said, I understand that there is something on him. And let's build and make a room. Let's put a bed. Let's put a lampstand. Let's make room for the anointing. In a sense, for us today as New Testament Christians, let's make room for the Holy Spirit. Let's make a little bit of room. Do you know that Hebrew people, Jews, that's the right word, celebrate the Passover? Did you know that they always set a spot for Elijah? It's like, it's just like an empty spot. Because they're like, they just open the door and sit there. They're making room. How much more as Christians? Come on, you wake up in the morning. Why don't you just make two cups of coffee? One for you and one for the Holy Ghost. Come on. Why don't we, if we understand we're going to get through COVID, know that we can't do it on our own and our own charisma and our own strength and our own might. But come on, the way we're going to get through it is the Bible says that in last days, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. I wonder if there's anybody in here this morning that would have the tenacity and would have the passion to begin to lift up holy hands and say, Holy Spirit, I am ready for a new outpouring of your spirit. Three of you, that was an amazing response. Come on. Well, in the last days, there's going to be troubles. Church is going to be, it's going to be perplexing is what the Bible says. Jesus said, but we also know the answer. In the last days, the Holy Spirit is going to pour out something fresh. Come on, can you lift those hands up towards heaven right now? Holy Spirit, we just thank you for a fresh outpouring of your spirit. Holy Spirit, we declare if we're going to get through this season, we can't do it on our own. And we thank you for what you've done in the past, but we want something fresh. We want something new. We want something powerful. Oh, Holy Spirit, let it be fresh in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, if you believe that, would you say amen? Come on, if you receive it, would you say amen? I like that word that it says that he's going to pour. And in the Greek word, it's the word ekuno. And it means to pour forth, and it means to gush out. In the Hebrew, I don't know. I didn't go to all my Bible college. There was somebody here that like had perfect attendance. That was not me in Bible school. And so I don't know how to pronounce this word in Hebrew. I just know that if you go lahach, lahachacha, if you hach a little bit, anytime you say something Hebrew, it sounds like you're proficient in Hebrew. And so the word is shafach. Shafach. And you're like, he's so studious, isn't it? But it means to spill forth, it means to sprawl out, it means to gush out, it means to shed, it means to slip. Slip. It's not a drop. It's not a, like, you know, it's not a user-friendly amount. It's not the kind that's like, we don't want to scare anybody. So we only want you, Holy Spirit, to come in just enough that we feel you, but we don't want to scare anybody. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. I want the Holy Ghost, but I don't want people to think I'm weird. So we settle for drops. We settle for a little bit that makes us feel good. Oh, that was such a Holy Ghost service. But the Bible says that in the last days, there's no little drops. There's no little, it's slippery. It's so much. It's gush. Gush. We a gush. You can't put a mask on gush. It's poured out. The Hebrew says to sprawl out. slipping, sprawling, pouring, and gushing is what the Holy Spirit says is going to happen in the end times. And I just say this as a pastor, I can get, and I don't even, Pastor Henry, I don't even know if I feel like a pastor anymore because I feel like a televangelist because I'm preaching to the camera every week in LA. And it's amazing to me how easy for me to settle for maybe a little drop and settle for a little bit. So while I'm preaching this to you with my bony, skinny little finger, I've got three fingers pointing back at me saying, Israel, you better live this and not just say it. And so I'm here today to hopefully encourage. I'm here today to hopefully step on your toes a little bit. Not a lot, but just a little bit, because I respect you, ma'am, but I do want you to go away a little bit different. I don't want you to come in the same way that you came. I want the Holy Spirit. So there's a part of me that wants to step on your foot so bad, but I don't really want to step on your foot because I want Pastor to have me come back someday because I love Escondido, but I don't want you to leave the same way that you came in, because anytime we have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be sloppy, it's going to be gushy, it's going to be slippery, it's not going to look like how everything we've had it. And I'm just wondering if there's anybody in Escondido that says, God, I don't care what it looks like, I just need you to come pour into my life, gushing, slipping, pouring out. Is that all right? I love that. I love that the Holy Spirit says that I'm going to gush on all flesh. Man, I love your church. Look around just for a second. Look down your aisle. Look behind you. Look in front of you. While they're looking behind, you're looking at their head. Just look around. Look around. We got white folks, we got black folks, we got Hispanic folks, we got Asian folks, we got all kinds of folks, right? We got skinny people, we got blessed people, come on. We got people with hair, we got people with nair. Right? We got Padre fans and we got Dodger fans. It's quiet in here. They're like, we're not even Padre fans, Pastor Israel. We got Republicans and Democrats. In church. Together. We've got people that are very controlled still by the enemy who love country music. And we've got other people here that know that 80s music is going to be played in heaven. Come on. I just know it. I just know it. I mean, all kinds. This is the only place on our planet right now where you can get this kind of people together. The only place. You can't get it together on social media. Oh, don't you dare post that because you know you will get 30 more hate posts, right? I mean, this is the only place. This is the only place. And it's because the Holy Spirit says it. And look at your church. There's young and there's old, which is exactly what the Bible says, that when he pours out his Spirit, it's not going to be a young thing. It's not going to be a wise thing only, but it is all of us together. And I just want to encourage you, we're replicating what heaven is going to look like. And in heaven, it is going to look like this, what you're seeing here. And we have to understand that that is going to take a battle. Come on, the great poets, I think of the 80s, Beastie Boys said, you got to fight for your right to party. Come on, somewhere along the way, we've got to stir ourselves up and say, come on, this is is worth fighting for. This diversity, this kingdom, this pouring out on all flesh. Come on, we're going to live it and not just say it. Does that make sense? All flesh, that's all of us. Young, old, come on, weird, smart. All of those things, there's one place that we should feel we belong. And if there's one place where anyone that comes in to these four walls should be celebrated and loved, the Bible says it should be the house of God because his spirit is inside of us. I played football, American football, when I was younger. My best year, I peaked a little early. I peaked in sixth grade. I dominated when I was in sixth grade. You might have heard, I played in Seattle, Cedar Valley Elementary School. Israel Campbell, no? No, maybe only in Seattle you would have heard the legend of how good I was. But I was really good in sixth grade. I mean, I was probably at recess picked either number one or number two 4 or 5 weeks in a row. I dominated. Sixth grade, we're not going to talk about seventh or eighth, ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th. But sixth grade, I want you all to know, Cedar Valley Elementary School, Israel Campbell, I dominated. And I was often, like I said, picked number two, number three, or I was picked to be the captain, where you made the choice. And I'll never forget one of those fall afternoons in sixth grade where I was ready to dominate. I was picked, we played, and there were only 12 players picked on every team. And I just remember, I'll pick my friend, Mark Gilbertson, because he's fast. I remember picking my friend, Bobby, that lived down the street. He wasn't a great football player, but he had a good bike, and he would often let me borrow his bike. And so I picked him up in a minute. I know, could have hurt the team, but I was like thinking of like a GM. Come on, I was smart. So I picked all the players, and the other person picked, and, you know, and I noticed that there were some kids that had not been picked for the team. And they just left. And I'll never forget, I saw a boy that I did not know, but at 6 years old, I saw his face for not being picked. And at 6 years old, his face just dropped, and he went and sat on the sidelines and watched the game. And it was one of those weird things, because I'm in sixth grade, and it was just this weird thing, but I came home, and him not being picked messed me up on the inside. And I don't remember if you remember when you're in sixth grade, like you don't really know how to handle your emotions or your feelings. You know, it's like a little thing, but you're just like overwhelmed by it. And I come home and I'm crying, and my dad is like, what's wrong with you? And I'm, and you know, you're trying to explain it. And they're like, okay, what happened? And they're like worried that, like, you know, did somebody touch you inappropriate? Did you get kicked out of school? I mean, they're worried because I'm crying. And then to find out at the end of the story, it was like, has this guy didn't get picked on the football team? And they're like, okay, praise God. Okay. And my parents were pastors of a church. And they just said, Israel, maybe that's the Holy Spirit bringing you attention that this is a person that needs to be picked and be plucked out of off sitting on the wall and getting part of the team. And so I'll never forget, his name was Isam, and his family was from Vietnam. They were Vietnamese refugees. He didn't speak English very good, but the next day I got picked as captain because sixth grade, Cedar Valley Elementary School, I pretty much dominated. So to get picked twice, okay, anyhow, I got to stick to the story. With the first pick of the November 14th Tuesday recess football game. With the very first pick, Israel Campbell chose the unknown, Isam Lee. And Isam could barely believe that he got picked. He was expecting to go on the bench again. And then I pick him number one. And you like the look of, because Israel Campbell did pick him number. Okay, anyhow, back to I picked Isam. He gets on the team. We pick everybody else. And I look to Isam and I'm like, do you know how to play football? And he's like, no. And I'm like, God, why did I do this? And I'm like, and it was like a really broken English, catch the ball and run and don't let anybody touch you. Do you have that? You get that? You understand? Yes. And I believe, I could be wrong in my recollection, but I believe I caught the ball. Because again, in sixth grade, Cedar Valley Elementary School, I dominated. I caught the ball and gave it to Isam and said, run. And he started to run, but he started to run the wrong direction. I'm like, Isam, no, that way. He turned around, and it was like Forrest Gump. Like, I just kept running and running. Which he didn't have as a Vietnamese accent, but you know what I'm talking about. He ran, and nobody touched him. And he scored a touchdown. We won the game. My legacy continued. Come on. A couple weeks later, we were playing, and I didn't get picked number one. I didn't get picked even number two, because Bobby was better, and he had a better bike, right? He really wasn't better than me, but he had a good bike, and he got picked. But the person that got picked number one without me was Isam, and they asked him to be the captain. And I don't know if he's the first Vietnamese to ever play in the NFL. I don't know. It's been a long time since elementary school. But Mikey and I drove all the way from Hermosa Beach yesterday, went through traffic and got here, was here last night, had an incredible time. But I'm here this morning because I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this story, because some of you have been sitting on the sidelines and feeling like it wasn't your time or your moment. And I believe that God's Spirit is saying, nope, it's no longer time to stay on the bench. You're valuable, you're needed, and we want you to come off the sideline and to get into the game. And I'm going to use you beyond your wildest dreams or even thoughts, and God's going to do something powerful. Amen.